Time and again in life, we experience hatred for whatever reason, maybe something you did, or sometimes you are hated for something you never did, like maybe a color of your skin that was not your choice to be that color of your skin you are, maybe for your gender, maybe for your intelligence, and sometimes for things that are beyond your control. And being hated is one of the most painful things. Sometimes you blame yourself, you look at yourself and think, what wrong did I do to this particular person? And you feel maybe sometimes like ending life or terminating those relationships with those people because they treated you badly and you feel belittled. The Bible is a good book that reflects on life situations from people who have lived on this earth and how they dealt with such situations. Today's sermon, we find it in the book of Psalm 9, where we see a prayer or a lament by someone, David, who is hated and is making a plea to God that may he help him in this kind or this type, in this life situation, which is difficult. I trust today's message will encourage you and give you hope. Why do we have the Bible? The Bible is there to reveal God to us. But the other thing that is important is such that we read the stories and they encourage us to know that there are people who have been before us and have faced such situations and have been able to survive. We will be taking the book of Psalm 9 today. That's what we will be reading, Psalm 9. I've titled the psalm, Surviving Hatred, or you said dealing with the pain of hatred. I will read from the ESV. To the choir master, according to Matt Laban, a psalm of David. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your response. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne, giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. The enemy came to an end in an everlasting ruins. The cities you rooted out, the very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds. For he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me, O you who lift me up from the gates of death. Then I may recount all your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk in the pit that they made, in the net that they hid. Their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. The wicked had returned to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not men prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in the fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. One of the very, very disadvantaged or painful or sad situation is to feel the pain of being hated. Sometimes people hate you for your success. Sometimes they hate you for your beauty. They hate you for who you are. They hate you for whatever reason. Some they just hate you. They just don't like your complexion and they hate you. People hate us for different reasons. I've had an experience of being hated by people, some even in the church, where as the youth, you will be outside and shaking hands with the people after service. Some of them will maybe, assuming we are four as the young people outside, hello, Mageban, hello, Babeban. They will shake the hands with the others and not shake the hands with you deliberately. You see that there is hate. They hate me. People can hate you even at work. They do everything they want and they can to make sure that you do not succeed. They just portray the hate. They don't want you to enjoy the work, to enjoy the job, to feel part of them. So we are hated in this world for different reasons. And when you are hated and you see that, it creates a stress in you. You get distressed. You are worried. What is this that is wrong that I did for this person to hate me so much? At times, you can even think of killing yourself. You think of quitting your job. You think of actually even not greeting that person. You think of retaliating or doing something bad. The psalm that we are reading here is by someone who experiences hatred. He's experiencing hate from people. Now, this is a psalm of it's a lamentation, a lament psalm. The person is praying to God that, Lord, help me in this situation. Now, if you look at the psalm, normally the lament psalm, they start by the person invocating the person or the psalmist saying who God is and crying to God that, God, please listen to this, to me. Now, he says this in verse 1 and 2, and verse 2, where he gives thanks to the Lord for what he has done for him. But I want to quote the second line. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. The psalmist praises God, wanting to express his reason for giving thanks to God. He wants to express the reason. That's why he wants to recount the goodness of the Lord. It is the good works that the Lord has done for him rather than complaining to God. But he wants to thank God for whatever he has done in his life. We'll get to understand what he has done. This is kind of like a time of testimony that I want to declare what the Lord has done for me. A testimony is something that encourages us because it reflects on what the Lord has done for us. Now he moves to the second part from verse 3 to verse 8, where he's talking, he's expressing the complaint, or he's telling God what is happening. What is it that is happening, or what is it that the Lord has done for him? When you read there, he's talking about enemies that turn back. The enemies turn back when they see God and they stumble and they perish before his presence, before the presence of the Lord. So the enemies of these people, when God appears, they stumble and they turn back because God has appeared. But before I get deep down to that one, if you read, I will align, there's quite a lot that they say about this. But if you align to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 to 13, we get to understand where David conquered the Jebusites. And when he had conquered that, he was able actually even to get their fortress, and he made it and called it the city of David. God gave him victory over people who hated him, over the Gentiles who were there, the Jebusites. God gave him victory. Now, in this situation, he's thinking of the goodness of the Lord, how God gave him victory. You see, when you experience hate and you feel like you are neglected, you are not accepted, and you are all alone, this psalm is giving us an idea on how to deal with it. One of the things is what we read now, that this person thinks of God acting for him. He's thinking of the good works that God has done for him, the victory he has given to him from his enemies. So God has given you victory somewhere in your life. He's thinking of God's goodness. He's talking about the enemies failing, even failing to see God. So he knows that God is a God of war. He's kind of like building up to express the reason why he's making the petition to God. Amen. So let's stand tall when we are faced by calamities or circumstances in our lives that cause us to feel rejected and hated. Know that the God that we serve is able to deal with the people who hate us. And they cannot fight the God that we serve. He is God who's above everything. Let us hold on to him. He's going to fight for us. Amen. Amen. Now, if you go to chapter to verse 7, now the person expresses the trust in the Lord. Because this is a lament psalm. Now he expresses what the Lord has done, or the trust, the reason for him to come to God. Because you should have a reason why you come to God to express your prayers. Why do you serve God? If I can ask you, why do you serve God? Is it because you've heard what we preach or what has been preached? But you should have a personal testimony why you worship God. God, you saved me. I was destined for hell. And now I have eternal. What the Lord has done unto your life. Now he says, he expresses the trust in God. He says, but the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne, from verse 7, his throne for justice. He judges the world with righteousness. He judges the people with uprightness. God is a fair judge. If we can explain the term judge, we should know that in court, there is a case and there is whoever is accused. The work of the judge is to make sure that the judgment, the conclusion of the case is fair, is sensible, and is fair. No one is taken advantage of. That is why, that is how the psalmist view God. God is the God of judgment who deals with cases fairly. Even in cases where you are unfairly treated, God as the righteous judge, if he's involved in whatever case you are dealing with, he is going to give you a fair judgment. The conclusion will be sensible. It will be a conclusion that gives peace to both parties. That's what the Lord does. So even if they hate you for whatever they hate you for, whatever reason they put and they say, but according to God, God is going to give you a fair judgment. So he's saying, the psalmist is saying, God, in this unfair judgment, in this time of hate, I know that if I put my trust in you, there is a fair judgment that I will experience before you. Amen. He defines God also as a stronghold. God, you are my stronghold. David trusts in the Lord is that he is a refuge. God is a refuge. No matter, it's a state of being in safe place, a shelter where you go and you are safe. God is our refuge. There is no danger in him. There is no difficulty in him. So he defines that, I trust you, Lord, because you are my refuge. In you, I am safe. Think of being in a place where there are no diseases. There are no dogs to attack. There's nobody, whoever hates you cannot attack you. Anybody with selfish or evil intentions cannot do anything because you are in a safe place. So the person, the psalmist, trusts God because he's a place of refuge. Let us put our trust in God as he is a God of refuge. That is where we are safe, if and only if we are in him. Amen. He also states that God never forsakes those who seek him. Those who seek God, God will never forsake. If we come to the Lord through prayer, he never rejects us. Note that the psalmist is specific on whom the Lord does not reject. If you read verse 9, and the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. O Lord, you have not forsaken them. Those who seek you. God will not forsake those who seek him. He is specific that these are the people who are in Christ. God will never forsake us, even if we have sinned and we regard ourselves as the evil ones. God will never forsake us. and he will never leave us. Amen. So let us come to him. Even if we are sinful, let us be bold enough to come to him and seek his grace. Now, the psalmist still remembers God's goodness and what he does, the reason for the trust. If you read verse 12, it says, "For he who avenges the blood of his people shed unjustly, he remembers them." So where people have been unfairly treated, God intervenes. I want to quote the story in the book of 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 1 to 24, where we find the story of Ahab taking Naboth's field. We know that Jezebel designed a trick so Naboth can die and the king Ahab can possess the field, because he wanted a field that was close to his place, but he couldn't get because this man Naboth has said, "No, you cannot have it. It's our family heritage." Then the king was worried. And then Jezebel came and said, "No, let's devise a plan." And the plan was to kill Naboth. And finally, he died. But God, this was a man who was poor. He didn't have the power that the king Ahab had. But God knew what had happened. And he sent his man Elijah. And he told him that, "You know what you did was wrong. As you have killed him, so your blood will also be licked by the dogs." So God acts fairly and acts for those who are underprivileged. You might be poor and powerless, and the people are so strong, but God is able to justly deal with the situation. So don't be afraid when people who are of power or people who have money and people who are so strong, maybe in high position at work or wherever in our locations, in our community, they take advantage of you. Don't be afraid of that. God will deal with them. As long as we seek him, those who seek him, God avenges. For he who avenges the blood, in brackets, that's the Amplified, of his people shed unjustly, remembers them. He does not forget the afflicted, which is the poor and the humble. If you read from the ESV, it says, he does not forget the cry of the afflicted. He does not forget the cry of us who are poor. As we cry to him, he remembers and he will act. So that's the reason for the psalmist to put the trust in God, because this is a God who acts. This is a God who avenges in cases where I'm taken for granted. So we are taken for granted, hated for whatever, but God, this psalmist says, "I will put my trust." Now the story, while the psalm is revealed in verse 13, where it says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. O you who lift me up from the gates of gates of death, that I may recount all your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation." Now, this is the total or the gist of the psalm. Why we have the psalm? Why the psalm? He is making a prayer to God that, "God, see my affliction from those who hate me. God, please see the persecution that I go through from those who hate me. God, see how they make me suffer, the people who hate me. These people hate me. So I'm pleading that, God, you be gracious to me and you deal with this the situation. Have mercy." Some other version says, "Have mercy on me." He's saying, "Oh Lord, you lift up, you who lift me up from the gates of death." If you're talking of the gates of death, it's actually incidents where someone is actually at the point of death or sees death as a better solution, but God rescues. You have thoughts in your life. I heard a story of a man who was so down in his life and thought, "It is okay now, I'm going to kill myself. Nobody is talking to me, I feel rejected." And his decision was to go into the house and kill himself because nothing works for him. In that situation, as he was thinking about that, it was a rainy day. A poor man, the people who are in town, in Gota, what? Yes, beggars, that's the right one. A beggar was there, and he came and said to him, just before he decided, he committed the act of killing himself, and this man said to him, "Oh, can you give me change? I just want some change so I can change my money." And then the man said, "Okay, wait," and he went into the house and looked for his wallet to see what was in, maybe he can give him change. Unfortunately, there was no money, and he returned, "Oh, sorry, there is no money here. I'm sorry to delay you." And then the man, "Oh," said, "No, no problem. You can go home. And if you get home, you God is there. He will be with you." And then the beggar left. Now, this man decided to go back home. And when he got home, he was so relieved and thought, "What did this beggar say to me?" And he got to his Bible, which he hadn't been reading for quite some time, and he read the Bible. And he was relieved. The following morning, he woke up, took the change, some money, and went back where he saw the man. And he said, "You know what? I saw a beggar yesterday. Where is the beggar?" He searched for the beggar, searched for the beggar, searched for the beggar. There was no beggar. What had happened, I believe it was an angel of the Lord that spoke to him. Now, what does this bring? God rescued him from the point of death. There are things that you might have decided that this is what I'm going to do. Maybe to sort the situation, which was going to be a blunder or something that will kill you. But God rescued you at that position. There are some decisions in your life that you had committed to that I am going to do this. And God comes at that point and rescues you. So he is the God who lifts us up from the gates of death. Yeah. There are some things that we feel are down, that are pressing us down and we want to commit, but God just rescues us. So he's praying to God that, "God, help me from this affliction. God, as we go through the hate, even the hate itself can make you to feel distress, you feel stressed, you feel down, you feel rejected, and you feel like nothing. It further goes to an extent of thinking of killing yourself, that ending life is the best. But he's calling on the Lord, that, "God, be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction in these painful times. God, see my affliction in these times of rejection, in this time where I'm all my own. In the time where you are all alone, call on the name of the Lord and he will come to you." Now he says, "If God, you just come and rescue me, I will lift up your name. I will recount all your praises. In short, I will say all your praises, all the good things that you have done to me, to the daughters of Zion. People will know of your greatness. In short, I will tell of your testimony and of your goodness." So as we speak to God in this difficult situation, let's call on the Lord and give him all the glory. Now he moves to the adoration from verse 15 to 20. "The nation have sunk in the pit that they made, in the net that they hid their own foot. Their foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hand." Then he says, "Think about it, O Selah. The wicked shall return to Sheol." He's thinking about God's fair judgment, that God, even whatever is there, the wicked, you are able to deal with them. They are caught in their snare. Whatever they do and the nets that they have put, God, you catch them and put them back. You are able to discipline, to fairly judge the situation. So don't bother about being hated. Put your trust in God, and in God, he's going to deal with the people who is there. He's saying, "Arise, O Lord, and let not men prevail. Let the nation be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but mere men. They are just human beings." Amen. What a prayer that we make to God. So if you feel hated, feel rejected, feel all on your own, know that God is there. The psalmist thinks on what will happen to the wicked. This refers to those who hate him, who have caused trouble in his life. This includes the nations that forget God. The evil acts show that they have put God aside and neglected him and did things as they want. So as we put our trust in God, in the times of hate, he is going to fight for us and he's going to deal with those people who are hating us. Don't despair as a child of God. This psalmist experienced that in his life and he called on the name of the Lord. That's why before I started, I said the Bible is written to encourage us to know that if somebody experienced this who lived in the Bible and God said, this is a man after my own heart, then you know that, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not the first one. So even if you are hated, you are not the first one. There is also this person who experienced hatred and hid himself in the Lord and called on the name of the Lord and thought of the goodness of the Lord, that, Lord, you are good. I remember you fought for me in these times. And I remember that you are fair judge. Even if they say what they say in terms of the hate, there is the truth. And the truth, you know it, and you will fight it for me. They might use their power like Ahab did, but I know that you'll give a fair judgment. You'll send an Elijah who will come to me and deal with the situation. For our God is there. Amen. So in the time when you're afflicted for whatever you are, when the hate pushes you to a point of death where you feel like it is worthless or life is worthless, we need to do like the psalmist. Think of the good victories God has made for you. Reflect on the reason why you praise God. Why do I put my trust in you, God? Reflect on the goodness of the Lord. And God assures us that he is going to intervene in that situation. Him being a righteous judge, he will fight for us. So what am I saying, or what is the word of the Lord saying to us today? We are given a word of encouragement that we should continue serving God. Whatever life puts unto us that makes us feel discouraged, feel so low, feel so rejected, God is still there and is still going to fight. As a fair judge, he'll give us victory. As a fair God who knows everything that is happening, even when we are poor, he's able to take you up. Let us put our trust in our Lord. Continue to call on his name, just like verse 13, where the psalmist is calling on the Lord that, please, Lord, come and rescue me and have mercy on me. Show your grace to this situation. You need the grace of God in those times, that, God, please give me the strength and your grace. Let me go on and let us keep our faith in the Lord. Amen. Well, that's all we had for you today. I trust and believe that today's message has encouraged you in your faith. Now you will walk tall and strong, knowing how to deal with hatred, praying to God, knowing that God is a faithful judge and he's the one who deals with all situations. He's a fair God. He's a God who does things the right way. Just put your faith in him and recall the good that he has done for you. May God richly bless us, and let us meet next time. Goodbye.